Well, this morning our reading for from the Gospel comes out of the book of Luke, and it's in chapter 1, verses 39 through 55, and this is the moment where Mary has gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is married to Zechariah, whom they were just told in a few verses before that they would give birth to John the Baptist, would be a cousin of Jesus. And in this encounter here with Mary and Elizabeth, we see their commitment to following, to believing, to hoping in the goodness of God come through. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 39 of chapter 1 of Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? The mother of my Lord comes to me. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was in high school and more so in college, I was active in choir and singing and being a part of a choir this time of year meant it was a very busy time of year. We'd often go perform, you know, for groups, you know, in town, such as, you know, Lions Club or perhaps another service organization, or perhaps the bank would invite us to come sing at their Christmas party. And it was great. I mean, going out and doing all these extra performances. For myself, I always counted them as extra practices before the concert, you know, of being out trying these words out, trying this music out, so we could be ready for that moment, for that concert. Now, this season, I have been fortunate and blessed to see many different music programs, you know, here in McClave last week. And I, as a musician, I know the work that goes into preparing for the Christmas concert, not just from the musician and the participant's standpoint, but from those who are leading, who prepare and, you know, and get that together, the teachers, the directors, and all that goes into that. There is a lot of work that goes into a Christmas program. No, out of school. And for here at the church, even though, with when we had our young people share the nativity here, all the work that went into that, it's amazing how much we do for just that one moment, for just, you know, that, you know, moment of sharing, or perhaps for that concert. And there's other things we do this in our life as well, all kinds of things that we will work, we will practice on, we will refine, we will get ready for that one moment. Perhaps it's as an athlete getting ready for, you know, that championship game or state track or something like that. Or perhaps it's a work project that we have put all kinds of time and energy and research, or like a new irrigation project. I mean, you can name it. There are things that we work and prepare for and get ready for those moments. Now, if you watch, you know, any ESPN or any sports programs, or especially like the Olympics when they were on, they would give all these, you know, backstories to the athletes preparing, of getting ready. And I will admit, when I watch this, I kind of feel like there's a bit of a glorification of all the preparation and the practice that goes into those moments where athletes are called to perform for that one moment. And I say a kind of a glorification of that because if you've participated in any of these activities or involved in anything like this in work, you know how hard it is getting to that moment. When I was taking music lessons and getting ready, you know, for a contest piece, all the practice that got into it, and if I'm truly honest, by the time it was time for me to perform that piece, I was sick and tired of it. I was ready to be past that moment and move on to something else, to move on to whatever would come next, even if it was leaving the room and getting a donut. I was ready for that moment. But here we have in our scripture today, we have Mary and Elizabeth. Now, Mary had this angel come to her, as we, you know, hear in scripture, and we can look into the story there. The angel saying that she would bear Jesus. She would bear the Messiah, bear, you know, the child that would be the ruler of the nations, the wonderful, mighty counselor, Prince of Peace, if we borrow those words from Isaiah. But yet, if we look at Mary's situation of where she was coming from and her place, we can see there was great difficulty leading up to the birth of Jesus. A great amount of uncertainty of not knowing, a great amount of effort on her part, and later and Joseph's part as well, as he would come into the story. For we have Mary, who really was quite vulnerable bearing Jesus. She was unmarried at this time. She was not, you know, in any arrangement socially that was of high status. She was at a place of great vulnerability and thus a place of anxiety as well, a place of uncertainty of not knowing how exactly this birth would take place or all the details that would happen. But here she was in this moment. She goes and visits Elizabeth, who is also an unexpected, you know, soon-to-be mother. When we had the M&M's lesson a couple of weeks ago talking about John the Baptist and his birth, and as we're sharing it with the kids, there's two details from the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah that the kids hold on to quite closely. One, Elizabeth and Zechariah were old. They hold on to that, you know, image really well. The other part of Zechariah and Elizabeth's story and their unexpected birth and some of the difficulty with that, at least for Zechariah, is that Zechariah went mute. He could not speak because he had doubted the birth of John the Baptist. He had doubted, and thus he became mute. Now, I've heard people say that for Elizabeth, it was probably the greatest 9 months of her life that, you know, Zechariah was mute. But there's also a level there, you know, for Elizabeth. I mean, she was past, you know, any traditional childbearing age. I mean, this was an uncertain place for her and a place of uncertainty, not knowing, you know, if the birth would come to fruition. Even though they had been told by God it would take place, there's still that human part of uncertainty, of not knowing, and all the work and the preparation that would go into that moment as well, into that moment of bringing John the Baptist into the world. I think for us as followers of Christ, we can be sympathetic to being in these moments where we are not sure of what will come. We find ourselves perhaps living and preparing for some moment in our lives where great joy and fulfillment will come. But when we're in that moment getting ready for that one moment, and that moment of uncertainty, of anxiety, of preparation, of hard work, of hard effort, it can feel like we are alone and away and cast out from others. It can feel like we have, you know, a great amount of not knowing what will come, a great amount of uncertainty, but also a lack of knowledge of what is coming. It's a place, I believe, that it can be one of the darkest of moments of our experience, of not knowing what will come, even though in the back of our mind we may be thinking, yes, things will turn out, but that doubt and that uncertainty, all the effort, wondering if the effort is worth it, all those questions can creep into our minds. But I love the response of Mary and Elizabeth. I love the faith-filled response that they had to their coming birth. In the midst of their uncertainty, of their anxiety, of knowing that they are not in a place of great status, knowing that they are, in a way, social pariahs, yet they had faith that God would be with them, carrying them through their pregnancies, but also in the raising of their children. I love actually here when you're looking at this in verse 45 is of chapter 1, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. This is a verse that it can seem so, in our day and age, seems so not real, for lack of a better way to describe it. A verse that can seem to be just, you know, fake. It can seem to be a verse that a false hope in some situations. But I love the brazenness that exists here, of that boldness of that statement. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. I know when I have been in moments of uncertainty and of anxiety, of not knowing what will come, you know, having any kind of hope in those moments can seem absent. It can seem like it's not there. But yet this verse here challenges that notion of where hope is, of how God is at work. Because we can feel like God is absent in a way. But God is not. God is still present, still there. It's still a part of Mary and Elizabeth's story. And it's still a part of our story as well when we're not sure of what will come next. We're called to have that faith, to have that belief that God will pull through, that God will be there, that God will carry us through to that moment that God has promised for us. A lot of times I'm like Zechariah, where he doubted, had uncertainty, needed to have some proof, needed to have a little more, you know, to believe that God would be at work there. But we see again, as our children would tell us in M&Ms, you know, Zechariah went mute because of his doubt. It took time for him to realize God had been at work. But yet Zechariah's voice was restored and Zechariah believed. So for us, when we are having those moments that we are more like Zechariah than we are Mary or Elizabeth, I believe God is still at work in our lives, even if it doesn't feel like we can feel that, you know, presence of God there, or it feels like we are absent, you know, from whatever joy God has for us or anything that's going to happen. God is still there, and God is still waiting for us to realize how he is at work in our lives, that he is still there, and that fulfillment of hope and of life everlasting is indeed coming. Brothers and sisters, let us hold on to these words that Mary and Elizabeth experience. Let us hold on to this verse, that beautiful verse, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment and what was spoken to her by the Lord. Let us hold on to those words. When it seems like all of our effort, all of our preparation, all of our work, all of our labor doesn't seem to be worth it, when it feels like we are nothing but balls of anxiety, nothing but blobs of uncertainty going about the world, let us hold on to these words and to that faith that Elizabeth and Mary had, so that we can go forward in faithfulness and hold on to that joy that comes from believing that God is faithful, that God is present. The people of Israel had been waiting a long, long time for the coming of their Messiah. And their Messiah came. It came through Jesus Christ, born to Mary and Joseph in that stable long ago. And that moment of fulfillment in that stable is still with us now and forever. Amen.